When looking for the King of Podcasts, you're at the wrong channel.
Well, excuse me!
Looking for good ideas for life? You're far from good hands.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
If you think the listener is always right, you're far from the right place.
Out of order! Even in the future, nothing works!
Hosted by a Northeasterner by birth, but a rebel by choice.
Are you threatening me?
If you want a host that floats between love and madness,
and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. Thinking of you's working up my appetite, looking forward to a little afternoon delight.
Then play on and listen to Crazy Train Radio.
All right, guys, listen to this blues riff and B. Watch me for the changes and try and keep up, okay?
Warning, creators of this game do understand the subject matter may be offensive to some, but they do honor the families and people that have been affected by these real life tragedies that these individuals have caused. Want to play a game?
Oh yeah!
Lover of true crime?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, we got an interesting game for you to check out.
Wow.
With the mashup of influences such as horror movies, collecting cards, and RPGs.
What?
Led to giving birth to an incredible creation of this game, Killers the Card Game.
You are all my children now.
This game is a collectible trading card game featuring some of the most infamous killers with tidbits of trivia on the back of each card to help you learn some insight to each criminal.
Who the hell are you?
Let's not forget, during the game, cops will be chasing you and these criminals.
I'm a cop, you idiot!
However, check out their website listed through all social media today, which can be found under Killers the Card Game.
Am I on the internet?
I want to play a game.
Hi, my name is Evan Rain, and you're listening to Crazy Train Radio.
Hey folks, it's your least favorite host in the podcast world, Croc, Jonathan Steele. And boy, do we have a good one for you today.
This next guest is a Vancouver-based actor who grew up on a farm but is multi-talented, and he's a part of a new Hulu series. Or I should say miniseries called Under the Bridge as Officer Don Gardner. So let's go ahead and welcome this guest, Evan Rain.
So let's go ahead and get started with Mr. Rain. Right. Mr. Rain, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing good. Yeah, can't complain. Yeah.
So I'm guessing for you, the excitement is pretty high because, as mentioned in the introduction, we have the new miniseries come out, Under the Bridge. So where's our head at? Where's the excitement? All that fun stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this is my first recurring role. So the other actors that I got to play with, I just think all of that's has made for like a pretty exciting time. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to sharing it with my friends and family as well. So
right on. And some of the co-stars he mentioned there is Lily Gladstone from Killers of the Flower Moon. She's a Golden Globe winner and Oscar nominee. You have Riley Cohn, excuse me, I always mispronounce it, from Daisy Jones and The Six. But for me personally, always a fan of her grandfather. I think a few people, six or seven, heard of, named Elvis.
Yeah, little known guy.
Yeah, I think he did okay in the music business. But then there's Archie Panjabal from The Good Wife. So you got a nice ensemble there for the miniseries. You play Officer Gardner, a rookie cop.
Don Gardner,
Officer Don Gardner. Rookie cop determined to earn his place on the force with this particular story. And you mentioned this is your first reoccurring role. So what can you say publicly about playing Officer Gardner and such?
I don't know if I'll try not to give too much away. I mean, I guess the story itself, it's a true Canadian crime story. So all the details of the story are out there. But the character that I play is, it's a fictional character. He's not, as far as I know, based on any real person. But he was, he's written as, I got kind of nice feedback. I was doing an ADR session, just recording some dialogue that got, that didn't get recorded so well on set. Earlier this week, and I got some nice feedback. They were like, the people running the session, they were like, you know, these moments that we're recording, your character kind of brings a little bit of levity to the series, with this show that is so, deals with such dark subject matter. And there's just a lot of heaviness to what's happening in the story. So my character, he's just trying to do his best. I think, like, in terms of what the character wants over the course of the show, I think he just wants to be respected and to earn his place. The story where the show takes place is a little town called Saanich, which is a little suburb of Victoria, BC. And there's not a lot that happens in this community. And then suddenly they're faced with this really horrific crime, and it just shakes the town to its core. And I think this is something that the police officers of this town weren't used to dealing with, especially a guy like Don, who is new to the police force and has never dealt with anything like this before. So I think we see a lot of moments of him just in over his head, trying to do his best. But in preparation for the role, I spoke to some police officers, and they talked about these two different types of police officers. There's ones that are like excited and like want to get their hands dirty and just get messy and contribute as much as they can to what's happening. And then there are other police officers who are, what was the term that they used? They said something like slow to, I forget what the term was, but basically they were slow to pick up the radio. You know, when the radio calls and there's something happening, they're the ones that kind of just wait and let things see what happens first. So I think my character Don, I think he's a little bit of that second category, where he wants to do a good job, but he's also like, gets easily frazzled, little bit of a nervous.
How is this going to play out?
Yeah, he wants to. Wants to be helpful, but also just doesn't have the skills and experience to really take on anything too big right away.
Well, I should mention Under the Bridge, which is a miniseries, premieres on Hulu and Hulu on Disney Plus April 17th. But as we beat around the bush, it chronicles a true story of Rena Virk, a 14-year-old who vanished after attending a party, but come to find out she was murdered, and was also based off a book as well. It's 8-episode series. The gripping book was Rebecca Godfrey, who wrote it. So obviously you are a Western Canadian boy, so you were are a little young when this whole thing happened. And you mentioned talking to some officers, you know, trying to figure out, you know, things for you to give the best presentation of your character and such. Yeah. But did you actually talk to any of the officers who may have been involved with the case?
No, not directly. I mean, the one that I did talk to, he had been in the police force with the Vancouver Police Department for years and years. So he remembers, obviously, when that incident happened, but was not directly involved with the investigation.
Right on. So obviously, folks, you can check that out. But I'm curious to know with you, as a younger talent and really getting your feet wet, what was it like going from doing something as a child like Cornerstone Youth Theater to having a successful career so far in both film and theater out in the West Coast, both in Canada and a little bit in the States?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, I mean, I may look like I'm like still getting my feet wet, which is true. I'm still early in my career, but the truth is I've been at this for almost 12 years, you know? So I guess I would say it's been a long, slow progression. Mm-hmm. Like when I started as a teenager, gosh, like 12, 13 years ago at Cornerstone Youth Theater, it's a little community theater in Red Deer, which is in central Alberta, small kind of oil gas farming community in the middle of Alberta. It was just something that I always wanted to be involved with and always had an interest in, but there just wasn't opportunities in the community that I grew up. I grew up on a farm, so there was just no opportunities really for aspiring actors until I was able to get my driver's license and drive to Red Deer and start taking classes there. But I guess, yeah, to answer your question, it's just been like one foot in front of the other. Just a slow progression and just finding out what the right next step is. And I didn't have a lot of people growing up to look up to or to ask questions. Except for it's funny enough, I'm actually staying with my parents right now on their farm, in central Alberta. And growing up, our next door neighbor, my parents live on a farm here, and our next door neighbor, he's a rancher and a farmer, and he works in film and TV. Oddly enough, he's a stuntman, and his son had got into acting. And so I had heard about the agent that his son was with in Calgary. And so it was just like little bits of serendipity and like little moments of connection where, you know, I ended up calling my neighbor and just asking him questions about how, you know, how he got started and how his son got started. So I think it was like a lot of slow progression and just finding the opportunities where I can. And and just finding out what the next right step is. I don't know if that answers, were asking?
Yeah, it does. But on the other side then, with success, like I said, you've been progressing pretty well so far, and obviously everybody has a different term for it or definition, but what do you consider success? Is it I have to be in some of the biggest projects of all time eventually, I have to have a certain amount of money in the bank, what? And it's unique because you come from a different perspective of a farming family, but how do you, as we sit now, determine success?
You know, that's funny because my idea of what that looked like has changed over the years. I think ultimately what it comes down to is just being happy with what you're doing and content with where you're at. I remember when I graduated high school, my goal was simply to have a career in the arts in Vancouver. And then once I moved to Vancouver and started working, then the goalposts move. So I feel like, I think it's a shifting answer. And I think it's important to recognize that too, because like important to have that perspective of like, oh, the goals that I'd set for myself 12 years ago, I've arrived there. So it's like, it makes me think about this, like, sort of this never ending, pursuit. And I think it might be a little bit dangerous to not recognize that, to always be like, oh, there's always more that I can be going for, which I don't know, it's dangerous, but it's two sides of the same coin, I think, because like, yeah, there are, it's great because there's always things I could be moving towards, but I think I also have to be aware of what I've already accomplished. And yeah, I don't know. It's definitely, it's a changing definition.
I can see that, because like you said early on, it's like, okay, I want to make sure my rent is paid and I got some food. And then you get to that stage where you're, as a working professional, it's like, okay, I want to do this, and that. Yeah, I mean, you have to, like you're saying, there's different layers of how you would define that. But yeah. Is there something, and you don't have to answer this, obviously, but is there something that you have on the checklist there of success, if you call it that, or goals that you want to hit? Because like you said, you've hit some goals already, but it's like, okay,
yeah.
Now what am I striving for next? Is there something that you willing to put out publicly that what my next venture is?
Yeah. Oh man, I would love, I have like very specific goals of what I want to do, but I also am very private, I guess, about how I share those goals. Cause I think there's something about, if I talk too much about what I'm really dreaming and what I want to do, then there's something about having talked about it that makes me feel almost like I've already accomplished it. So it kind of cheapens it. And then
I get that. Totally get that.
So yeah, I guess my answer would be is yes, there are some specific things. And I guess I could talk about maybe some short term goals. Cause they're
totally up to you.
there are goals that there are dreams and then there are goals. So like I've got some big dreams that I wanna chase, but then there's some goals that are just like super like everyday achievable. So as soon as I get back to Vancouver, I'm starting to get back into acting class again and just sharpen my skills. And I've been working with an acting coach who's helped me develop some marketing materials as well. So getting more on the train of marketing and that kind of thing to try to get the ball rolling. So those are some shorter term goals that I can share for sure.
So curious to know what, because I saw you graduate from it, but I didn't see anything on it. What is Studio 58?
Yeah. Studio 58, it's just a theater school. They call it Studio 58. It's literally room A058 or whatever in the basement of Langara College in Vancouver, British Columbia. And it's like a conservatory style acting school. So it's 3 years of acting, voice, movement. It's kind of like it's one of like the like go-to theater schools in Western Canada, I would say. There's a lot of people go to that school and come out and have great theater careers. And then there's a handful as well who delve into film and TV as well. But it's like a theater conservatory.
Right on. And you mentioned earlier about growing up on a farm and all that fun stuff. Little tidbit I read was you like to make movies with your brothers and stuff with the home video and such. So were your parents surprised you wanted to go this direction? But also, what type of farming do your parents do and have with their property?
Yeah. So the farm here, my parents never really relied on farming for their primary source of income.
my dad worked in the oil and gas industry, and my mom was a homemaker and helped raise us kids all through our growing up years. But my dad grew up on this farm, and his dad was a full-time farmer. So what it looks like now is, my dad's semi-retired now, but he, every year he'll put up hay, cuts and bales hay and sells that. Over the years, we've had some animals. We don't have any animals currently, but in the past had some cattle and stuff like that. But currently, my neighbors, the one that I actually mentioned earlier, who
the rancher
is a stuntman. Yeah. So he rents part of the land and has a bunch of livestock. He has a bunch of cattle that he puts on our land. And then to answer the other question, I don't think it was too big of a surprise. I mean, I've got two older brothers. My oldest brother's a radio announcer. And so he kind of, I feel like it's definitely that older brother mentality where he kind of forged this path and something a little bit different than a lot of folks do in this area of the country. And then my second brother, he went into film and TV as a visual effects artist. And so I feel like the path was already forged for me by the time I graduated high school. Like I had two older brothers pursuing careers in different creative fields. So
so it wasn't really much of a surprise then.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I had different ideas of what I wanted to do. And I didn't know any professional actors out there. So it was a little bit of like testing the waters and, like I mentioned earlier, just one step at a time and seeing if it's even possible. But then at a certain point, then there were many times where I was like, this isn't possible and I'm just going to quit and go study engineering. Or like that was my plan B. I was
a traditional job, you know.
Totally. but there was a certain point where I don't know when it happened. It was probably when I went to theater school where I was like, okay, no, I put all this money down. Like, let's make a go of this and see what happens.
Absolutely. Well, last question for you. And folks, make sure you do check out the Under the Bridge miniseries on Hulu as of April 17th. But I'm curious to know, where did you pick up the banjo and learning Spanish as well?
Oh, yeah. Great questions. The banjo, I think this is going to sound crazy, but I think I literally had a dream about playing the banjo and it just kind of stuck with me. I'd played the guitar. I've been playing the guitar for forever since I was like 12 years old. And then I think it was a literal like dream that I had while I was sleeping about playing a banjo. And I woke up and I just thought how cool it would be to play one. So I found a secondhand one on Kijiji, which is kind of like Craigslist here in Canada. And I bought it. And then I just started playing it. Like having some guitar skills helps transfer over some of those skills. So yeah, I just kind of picked it up and just started playing. Then I ended up doing some acting work that required banjo playing. So I got some opportunity to practice while working, which helped develop those skills. And then the Spanish was more of like a COVID activity. So when everything was shut down and had nothing to do, I just like started using Duolingo and then it turned into a daily habit. And then ended up like going to Guatemala and Mexico. And I've got friends in Latin America now who've helped me. And it's become like one of my favorite things to do outside of acting.
So obviously the miniseries is on the horizon within the next few weeks, but what is next for you? Do you have stuff planned? What's the rest of 2024 look like for you?
It's a big open slate at this point. I had a couple offers for theater. So I've been on a theater, touring theater production for the last year. And we just closed in Calgary on Sunday. And the theater company that I worked for in Vancouver, they had a spot for me this summer to return to that theater company for, it's like a 6-month contract. It's like the longest theater contract I've ever done. But I ended up saying no to it, as difficult as it is to say no to work, just because I want to, yeah, I've got, like, going back to goals, I've got some specific things I want to do in film and TV. So just opening up the space to, to go into that. So I've got nothing coming up, but, it's with the, with the goal of, working towards the things that I really want to work towards. So,
well, Evan, thank you so much. Check out Under the Bridge when you get an opportunity as of the 17th on Hulu and Hulu on Disney Plus.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey there, Friday fans. We know how much you enjoy the movies. Enjoy grabbing your Friday merchandise and interacting with the Friday family, whether it be at conventions or during our particular watch-alongs. Well, when you're looking to get yourself masks, why not check out our friends over at Camp Blood Customs out of New York State and order your specific custom mask from any of the films. All orders are made specifically. Your needs and wants are. Make sure you find Camp Blood Customs on Facebook, Instagram, and all over social media and order yours today.
I'm Julie Michaels, and you're listening to Crazy Train Radio.